afternoon. Appreciate you being here. Busy week, say, in a number of different fronts. Probably exciting time for you guys to cover a lot of things with the team, the draft, the trip tomorrow. We're just kind of winding down here with the process, you know, a little over a week out with a draft. We're just trying to finalize some of our preparation. Most of the information we've accumulated to this point. Now it's a matter of kind of consolidating everything and sorting through everything and kind of putting our plan together in for next week, which we all know that can be somewhat, you know, kind of a moving target relative to where we're scheduled to pick and what could happen in front of us. So a lot of people put in a lot of time, a lot of effort. Certainly be remiss if I didn't recognize Monty, Austin Fort and his staff. You know, Monty took over for John in that role last season, and the transition is going really well. So, you know, Monty and his staff have put a lot of time, a lot of effort, and there's a lot of people that are involved in this process. But, you know, certainly he's involved and kind of spearheading that process. And the way he's worked with Bill and myself has been great. You know, we're excited about the opportunity here to find some players that we hope can improve our team. There's not as many spots as there's been in the past, just from an overall roster standpoint. I think we're at like 73 and right around there, 73, 74. So I think in years past we've been a little bit lower, but the roster is a little more full relative to where we are in the whole process. So right now we have 9 picks. We'll see how that goes if we end up using those 9 picks. And then there'll be some players that we sign after the draft. So there's probably another, call it, you know, 15 to 16, 17 slots. And then I'm sure there'll be some things after the draft that transpire. We know, I'd say, the team building process is an ongoing thing. This is one portion of that. Even if you'll go back to last year, kind of how we built the team. There's some players that we added in the draft. There's some players we added after the draft. There's some players we added throughout the course of the season. So I would say the overall team building process is a pretty extensive, ongoing thing. It kind of never ends. This is just kind of more of a definitive point in time, and we kind of have a little bit better idea of kind of what we're talking about. So I'd say that's kind of where we are for the time being, and I'll take some questions here, you know, moving forward.
Nick, subtracting Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner from the team and then adding a couple of veterans as well, how do you feel about where you guys stand at the cornerback position right now?
Yeah, I think we've added some players, I'd say, across positions that have experience in the league, that have played a number of snaps. So the reality is, you know, we just started working with these players here Monday. I mean, not even working with them. They went in the weight room and started doing the strength conditioning. So we'll have a better idea when we actually get on the field, start working with them in the coaching sessions and then going into the OTAs. So the players that we added to the team, we brought them here for a reason because we think they can help. Obviously, we're going to let the competition sort itself out. So that'll be, you know, we'll have a better idea here once we get a little bit further down the road. So
is Malcolm Butler someone you're counting on to have a bigger role this year?
Well, I think we're looking, if you want to talk about the rookies specifically, you know, players that were in the first year in this program moving into their second year, you know, you want to see them make some progress. So, like I said, we're kind of in, it's a long process. We got a long way to go. We'll see how much progress one player has made relative to another. We'll have a better idea once we actually get on the field and start working with them. So, I mean, everybody is going to have the same opportunity. Everything's in front of them. So once we actually get the opportunity to work with them collectively, then, you know, we'll see how it goes.
What are some of the stronger positions, and is that group maybe from about the 20th best overall in general opinions down to maybe the 45th, 50th best? Is that a solid group relative to other years?
I'd say it's probably similar to most years. I think most drafts, just generally speaking, there's probably, let's call it 8 to 10 players that everybody has a conviction about. I mean, look, you guys have seen all the mock drafts. I mean, everybody's got an opinion. It seems like there's 50 mock drafts out there. And if we took a poll of everyone in the room, if we went 1 through 32, none of them are going to look the same. So once you get to a certain point. So, you know, what you try to do is just identify the players. And really what we're concerned about is role and how they fit on the team, not necessarily round or grade. So let's figure out the player. Let's define his role. What's his player going to be for our team? And then where that player actually ends up falling in the draft, Well, that's just part of the overall process. So I'd say there's going to be players at multiple levels that you feel could come in and help your team. Maybe there's some that are a little bit further along than others. But I think the draft process in and of itself, like just talking to that 20 to 45 range, I think you're going to find quality football players within that range. In the end, the most important thing for us is what's the role for our team? How do we see that player? And then we make the determination, you know, based on that.
Along that same line, Nick, how do you break down a player you project, or how do you value him, project as a player who can come in, start right away, or get a lot of snaps right away, versus a player that you draft that you have to develop?
Right. Well, I mean, even when you draft a player, you really don't know. I mean, you could say, okay, we've graded this player such, and here's what we think his role is going to be, and then he comes in, and maybe it takes him a little bit further, you know, takes a little bit more time than somebody else. So, I mean, there's certain players that are at different levels. Maybe a player switching a position, okay, so that learning curve is going to be a little bit further than somebody who's played the position for 3 or 4 years. So you evaluate the skills. You try to identify and say, okay, this is what we think he's going to be able to do. But even sometimes it doesn't work out the way that you go. So I'd say there's a multitude of factors that go into that. Maybe it's, you know, making the position switch. Maybe it's a learning element, just how quickly he learns. Because the reality is once you get him here, you think you know what you have, but you really don't know until you actually get your hands on him and can actually start to work with them. So maybe that player retains information better than others. Okay, and maybe another player takes them a little bit longer. So until you actually start to go through the process, which is pretty exhaustive, meeting, installation, walkthrough, practice, make the correction on film, come back the next day and see if they can actually make some improvements. So how quickly they do that, you know, it varies from player to player. So there's certainly some players that are more ready than others, or you think that they are, versus another player. Maybe it's a lower level of competition, or like I said, he's making a position switch. So you just sort of have to make that determination, and that goes kind of in turn with, like, what the value is for our team and then how he's valued according to our scale.
You've got the capital to, again, move up and down the board just about as you please. And just wondering how, I mean, you look at 2012 when you were able to move up twice for Chandler and Dante. The next year you move down for Jamie, and I know moving up and down are sort of different, but how do you go into that and into the draft looking at players and deciding this player is worth moving up for, and how much work do you kind of put into seeing which teams would be available partners if the player you like falls to a certain point?
Sure. I would just say, anytime you move up or down, it's really usually player-specific or player-driven. So if there's players that you've graded a certain way or that you've valued a certain way relative to other needs, other teams, supply and demand at that position, that could dictate whether or not you feel it's necessary to move up, or if you feel like you could get a similar value, a similar player at a lower level and accumulate picks, then you can move down. A lot of that, too, is, okay, where are you in terms of your overall roster? Like I said, we're not talking about, like, infinite number of spots. So if you move back, you're going to accumulate picks. Maybe you end up, if you move back, use those picks to move back up. So there's a lot of jockeying that goes on. So a lot of that, in the end, is really, it's player-specific and it's player-driven. So if there's a player that's in range and then you look at what's around you and look at another team and you might think based on your research, okay, they have a need, we've sort of identified this player with that team, okay, maybe this is an opportunity to do it, then that kind of is the impetus to make that move. You know, if you don't feel that way, you might be able to feel, look, we feel confident if we sit here, we can get one of 3 or 4 players. So I think that's kind of how it transpires. I would just say from our perspective, there isn't a lot of dialogue or conversation, like I would say, like to this point, like we really haven't talked to too many teams. Now, next week, you know, will we talk to a team or two? Possibly. But like I said, until you actually get into the draft and get into the process and the players start to come off the board, then it's kind of hard to say, okay, well, yeah, we'd like to move up. Okay, well, you know, we'll get back to you. Well, then you're talking in circles, which is kind of a wasted phone call. So,
having the 32nd pick this year, is that a pick that in today's NFL maybe has more value than it had in the past?
Well, I mean, I think it depends, like, how are you defining?
Well, given the CBA, and then also it's like the last pick of the night, like maybe more teams, it's become more valuable just around the league.
Look, in the end, like, you're going to pick a player if you forget about all the other variables that are involved. Like, if there's a player there and you think he makes sense for your team, then you're going to pick the player. So I wouldn't say it's driven by any other factors. So the reality is we're always prepared to pick wherever that is, 22nd, 25th, 32nd, like wherever that might be. So we'll be prepared to pick. If it works out that way and we have to pick the player, then we'll pick. If we don't pick, then you guys will be all pissed off because then you want everything to write a story about the next day, except that we traded out of it. So,
when you take a guy, you could get your guy at 32 or maybe get him at 40, but you tie him up longer at 32. How does that factor into that? Getting the extra years there versus the picks down the road from a guy that you like in both instances.
Yeah, I think there's so many variables that are involved. So, I mean, in the end, like, even if you want to move back, well, if there's not a partner, then, you know, there's not much, you know, that you can do about it. So,
where does the extra years come into tie with deciding, like, you want to get this guy versus the capital? Like, you tie him up for 5 years or three, so where does that play into first round, second round when you move back?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, the reality is you look at the player, you assign the value, say, here's his role, and, you know, there's really, I wouldn't say the economics aren't really that much involved, I mean, at least from our perspective, maybe for some other teams.
What has Dante Scarnecchia's role been throughout this pre-draft process? We've seen him pop up at more than a few pro days along the way.
Sure. You know, I'd say that there's a lot of people that have been involved in the process this time of the year. I mean, every coach in the building has worked out players. I would say there's a number of people in the personnel department that have actually worked out players. Dante has a lot of experience in our system. He's a great resource. You know, he's been a great resource for us. You know, so it's something that, you know, we decided that might be helpful to us in the entire process. So, I mean, Dante has a lot of experience in our system, and he has a lot of insight, so I'd say it's kind of worked out. Like I said, there's a lot of people that were involved. I mean, all of us, every single one of us, we can't cover everybody. So, you know, we're trying to take our resources and allocate those resources the best we can to try to, you know, get as much information as possible on a player, however we can do it.
What is the value of pro days relative to watching a guy on film? You know, there are some maybe more old school guys who just want to see the film, but, you know, now we're seeing networks go live from pro days and charting statistics against the air. But for you, what is the value of a pro day?
Shalise, I think it depends. There's some players who, if they weren't at the combine, they weren't in an all-star game. So this is like their one opportunity to kind of go through the testing process. I would say the pro days, from our perspective, I mean, yeah, you get the times and you get the information, but like if you go to a pro day, you're really trying to allocate time with a player. It's not necessarily like how high you did the broad jump and, you know, how, you know, vertical jump, but let's say you have an opportunity to go to the school and you meet with a player one-on-one, okay, the night before, what have you, and you go through an installation. Okay, we're going to install these concepts. Okay, we're going to go through their information. Okay, how do they process that? Okay, then we're going to test them. Then we're going to walk through. I would say that is more helpful and advantageous from our perspective than, like, the guy going out there and, like, you know, taking his shirt off and running a 40 and then getting the time. So the other thing that comes – there's going to be – always going to be some players in the spring that you go into school in the fall and maybe the guy hasn't played that much, okay, just doesn't have a lot of experience playing, but they tell you, look, this guy's going to really test well in the spring. So, okay – then maybe you get to jump on that player, and then, okay, they verified what they told you. Look, this guy tested really well. So then the question, okay, well, if he tested well, then why didn't he play? Okay, what happened there? So then you have to go back and research and try to figure that out. So, I mean, the pro day in and of itself is kind of just, it's like the combine. Like, it's become kind of a media creation, a little bit of a circus. I mean, but, you know, you try to get in there and get what you need to get done accomplished. Like I said, the bottom line is their production. If a guy's played 3 years in the SEC against good competition and then he has a bad pro day, well, are you really going to downgrade him because he didn't run, you know, a good L drill? Like, probably not.
When we're watching the draft from the outside, we can obviously see the clock ticking down. Has there ever been a situation in your draft room where it got maybe uncomfortable, as in like, oh crap, we got to get this pick in?
I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago. The only time that really happens is when you're making a trade. Because when you make a trade with another team, you have to work with the team, and then you have to have correspondence with the league. So, like, if we were doing a trade, the both of us would have to call it into the league. And you can't really consummate the trade until you have both parties, okay, yeah, we got it. So if you're working with another team and you're waiting to hear back from them, the clock's running down, it says 1 minute, okay, well, what are we doing? So once a trade gets consummated, then you can turn a card in. So I'd say those are the situations where it becomes a little bit dicey. But if you're not doing a trade, I mean, usually the clock isn't an issue.
Nick, around this time last year, you talked to us and said you felt like the roster at that point, you guys could field a pretty competitive team. I'm wondering if going into this year's draft, you feel like you have maybe more pressing needs, or maybe, you know, the goal is to come out of free agency feeling the same way every year.
Right. I think I'd say we're in a similar situation. Like I said, the roster is even a little more full than it was last year at this time. So, I mean, there's a lot of players that have a lot of experience. Now, they haven't necessarily played in our system. So that comes back to kind of the earlier question we talked about. We'll have a better idea once we're actually on the field with them to see, you know, to see how far along they are. But, I mean, I think we feel the players that are in this locker room, you know, some have played a lot of football for us. Some are a little bit, you know, in earlier stages in terms of their development. And then we have some other players and other teams that we've required that have a lot of experience, but we're not sure how they're really going to fare in our system. So, like, if we had to go out there and play today, like, we could play. But, I mean, the season doesn't start today. So, you know, we'll continue to build the team and try to do what we think is best for the organization.
Nick, you talk about, you know, making sure that there's spots for the players and developmental players who have been on the team. Is it hard to decide when you populate further a position at which you guys have people who are still developing? Say, for instance, wide receiver. You get guys you took just a couple of years ago, fairly high in the draft. And you probably don't have a full dossier on what they can do yet. Does that weigh into what your decision is come draft day when you bring new guys?
I would say not necessarily, Tom. You know, because when you look, you're evaluating sort of players independently of one another. You know what you have on your team. So maybe it comes down to, okay, this is what we have on the team. Okay, but there's this player over here. Okay, and maybe if it's two positions, maybe there's a position where you have less numbers or less volume. You err on the side of caution in that respect. So you look at them independently. You evaluate the player kind of irrespective of what you have on your team. It's kind of like we talked about, you know, a few years ago with Nate. So we had Sebastian. You know, we had Matt Light. We're going to have Matt Light. Okay, so we had two good tackles. I mean, starting-level tackles that have played at a high level. So then you have Nate Solder. Okay, so here's a third tackle that you're bringing in who you feel has, you know, good ability. Is he better than Light or Vollmer? I mean, maybe, maybe not. But we know at some point, like, this guy was going to be a good football player. So it's very similar to the example you've just kind of illustrated. So you look at the player, you evaluate the player, you look at your team, and ultimately you're going to say, like, look, this is the best player for our team, and then you go ahead and pick him regardless of the position.
Nick, there aren't too many GMs or personnel executives around the league that are out there in shorts running the drills at pro days, but then we watch them this spring. We see you out there doing that. I think you were even the quarterback in Maryland. Just how much do you enjoy that part of the pre-draft process and being so involved in it, you know?
Look, whatever I can do from my perspective to help as part of the evaluation process, then I'm going to do. I've been fortunate, you know, to be in a position that I'm in here for a number of years. And, you know, we all of us, I mean, Bill, myself, coaches, you know, when you go to a workout or go to a pro day, I mean, none of us are above any of that. So, I mean, look, if I got to throw some balls during the drills, then I'll throw some balls. So, like, whatever it needs to be done in the course of a workout, then I'm going to be willing to do it. Like, I mean, look, it's good exercise for me and kind of keeps me in decent shape. So, I mean, it's definitely an enjoyable part of the process. I love doing it, love being a part of it. But, you know, whatever I can do to help the team, then that's what I'm going
to
do.
And, Sarah, one quick follow. We don't get to talk to you very often. You signed a contract extension in the fall through 2020. You probably could have had other options around the league. People in your position before have gone on to be GMs elsewhere. What about being here made you want to stay with New England?
A lot of things. I would say I've been fortunate to be able to be in the same organization for 14 years, had a chance to work on a multitude of levels. The Kraft family has been extremely generous to me and my family, and there's no other coach in football that I'd rather work alongside than Bill Belichick. So I like being here, I like winning, and I enjoy my role. I have plenty of responsibility, and I enjoy being a part of a winning culture and winning organization. You know, I feel blessed and to be here and to have the opportunity that I have, you know, really grateful, and, you know, hopefully we can continue to win some games along the way as well. So,
one more, if I may. When you're evaluating as just an entire staff or the department, and you look at past drafts and you see maybe a position or two that you haven't hit on, maybe with some picks that, you know, earlier picks that guys didn't pan out the way you liked. Let's say you missed on a couple of guys, again, at the same position. What do you guys do to kind of work to improve that, to make sure that that trend stops as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I think it's an ongoing process. We try to look at the scope of what we're doing on every level, you know, coaching, playing, training, scouting, okay, to figure out, okay, you know, where was there a gap or what could we have done a little bit differently? So the evaluation process of what we're doing, I mean, it's not like yearly, it's daily. So, okay, like, did we overvalue the player's ability? Okay, well, was it his ability to conceptualize and, you know, learn something? Or, you know, was it something else outside of football? So it's never one factor. There's always multitude of factors. So you just try to look at that example and say, okay, well, here's what we thought. Okay, here's what it ended up being. And the reality is the draft, like, look, nobody's a draft expert. I know there's a lot of experts out there, but the draft's an inexact science. I mean, that's the reality of it. So there's going to be players that work out the way you think, and there's going to be other players that don't work out the way you anticipate. So you just try to go back and then figure out, okay, what happened? The same thing after a game. Okay, we played poorly in this game. Okay, here's the evaluation of the game. What do we do well? What do we do poorly? Here's some things that we can work on. So that mentality sort of transcends every aspect of the organization. And it's no different than what we try to do, you know, from our perspective. So the idea is to try to make continual improvement and, you know, and try not to repeat things that continually pop up. And if they do, then we just have to figure out maybe a different mechanism or method to get to the bottom of it. All right. Great. Thanks. Appreciate it.